Thursday or Friday?
Wednesday.
It's Wednesday?
Yeah.
Holy.
Yeah.
Welcome to How to Question. It's been a hell of a week at Katie's house already. Sarah Spain is also here. It's been a little bit chiller over in her spot.
Who should feel better about their QB situation today? The Cowboys or the Colts?
Training camps. This is what we do. This is how we eat. We do stuff like this. So we knew Dak Prescott had a little bit of an issue with his shoulder. They say he's now throwing 10-yard routes lightly, which I guess is a good thing. It means he has an arm that can throw things. Carson Wentz, in the meantime, we got this big 5 to 12-week window when he might come back from that foot injury. Well, he's in a walking boot, and they're estimating that he might be back for week one. Which one's a like more optimistic sign? I'm thinking for the Cowboys, right? Because just from here and where we sit, we have all the room in the world to imagine how bad Dak Prescott's shoulder might be hurt. And it looks like, okay, he's on path to come back. That's cool. With the Colts, this gets to be really interesting because everybody involved has incentive for this dude to come back way too quickly. Carson Wentz has got to be afraid that this is his last chance, that he doesn't want somebody else to take it. On the other end, the Colts might have to go with Jacob Eason or Sam Ehlinger, and I just don't believe that they are comfortable with the idea of doing either one of those things. So, like, legitimate optimism, the Cowboys with the Colts, you got to wonder what everybody's doing.
Bomani, you're not buying into the Sam Ehlinger hype that we're hearing as he's passing Jacob Eason as the favorite now for the backup role because Wentz will be ready. First of all, I'm still hesitant to buy this as a sure thing that Wentz's rehab and development is going to go right on schedule, which is a new schedule that just arrived that he would still be ready for week one. Obviously, the Cowboys are more optimistic, not only because of Dak Prescott's injury seeming less severe, it didn't require the surgery that Wentz just underwent, but also because the end product is much better. It's proven to be much better. So whatever percentage you get of Dak is going to be significantly better than likely what you're getting out of Carson Wentz. The only thing I would say is you've got compound issues with Dak. And, you know, the arm has become the issue because it's what's taken him out of camp. But we still don't know what he looks like in a professional football game with that destroyed ankle. And as a dual threat, as a guy whose team plays better when he's able to be mobile and be on the run 5+ times a game, we still need to see that in addition to the shoulder working correctly. I think it was funny how Jerry Jones was so excited that they reached out to the Rangers for insight on the shoulder. Yeah, sure. Why not get as many opinions as you can? But also, why is it such a weird shoulder issue that we can't just ask people in the game of football how it looks and what it might be? Is it weird enough that we need to go looking to other sports to find answers for what's going on inside Dak's shoulder? That's a bit of a concern to me.
Yeah, it feels like a lot of the stuff that the people around the Cowboys organization are saying to try to calm everyone down in regards to Dak's injury are things that keep making me be like, but what? That doesn't actually make me feel better. You should have all the doctors that you need on your football team and not have to go to a baseball team. With Carson Wentz, it's entirely possible that he's just worried Philip Rivers is going to come back. So he's like, let me go ahead and get out there so this doesn't become a problem. But if you watch Hard Knocks, you see Mike McCarthy reacting to Dak's injury. That concerns me a little. He seems overly worried about it. And like you said, it's a compound issue. It could be an ankle or a shoulder at any given moment with Dak. So I would say that's a little concerning. What I want to do is just get us to where we can talk about what I saw in Hard Knocks last night was the most concerning thing for me, which is that Jerry Jones puts salt.
So much salt.
On a McGriddle. Let's discuss.
Seems like
I'll just say this. Jerry Jones put salt on a McGriddle for the same reason he called the doctor from the Texas Rangers. Because he can. This is a man that goes real strong on the because he can program is why he do things. And look, if he wants to kill himself one McGriddle at a time, he going to do it because he can.
When's the last time either of you ate at a McDonald's?
Like 13 years ago.
What?
I grabbed some on a road trip about a year ago, I think.
I got it delivered a week ago.
Delivered?
Yeah.
Should we feel bad for Dennis Schroeder?
All right, so Dennis Schroeder is in this interesting place where he may engender a measure of sympathy for getting $5.9 million a year. Now, I understand that that'd be a very difficult concept in regular life to get your mind around, But the reports were that he got offered a four-year, $84 million contract extension by the Lakers during the season. He turned it down. He bet on himself. And now he's going to Boston, which is not as dope as L.A., for $5.9 million, which is not as much as 84. I mean, I don't know if feel bad for him is the way to go, but hey, this is the game. We love it when people decide they're going to bet on themselves and they come up and win and we give them all the credit in the world for it. He bet on himself and he came up snake eyes. Where I feel bad for him is he's got to be looking around, figuring out how this happened. Like, it's one thing that he thought he was going to get more than $20 million and he didn't get it. But to go down to $6 million in 1 year, what in the world happened? Because I'm looking at my agent either like I should have been listening to you or I got to start listening to somebody else.
It did happen so quickly that you have to imagine he has whiplash, and I hope that he's taking the time to kind of process what just recently happened, where you went from being offered a bunch to thinking you deserved more to settling for significantly less. But do I feel bad for him? Absolutely not, because the Celtics are back, baby. This is it.
Oh, boy.
We got it. We got Dennis Schroeder at a bargain. We got to pay so much less for him than we needed. You know, people worried. Ainge is leaving and Brad Stevens is moving up to the front office. How are they going to make the... Look at that. We got a bargain deal on a guy who some say, at least one person says, was worth $120 million. Dollars. So, yeah, I don't feel bad for him. I feel excited. This is the start of something special. Sure, it's a one-year deal, but maybe this will turn into a this Celtics are back.
I don't know if I agree with that. There are a couple things there. Number one, we're all focusing on the money that he could have gotten, that $20 to $30 million a year range, if he'd gotten the deal he was looking for. Let's also remember he's coming off a deal with the Hawks that ended him traded to the Lakers, where he was making almost $18 million a year. So not only is he not making as much as he could have had from the Lakers or wanted, but also not much as he was making before this. He went way down in cost. Now, there's one slight opportunity for him to spin this into something great, and that's to your point, Katie. This is a team that he could use as a jumping off point. They just traded away Kemba Walker. They have a hole at point guard. If he excels there and thrills people, maybe he gets his reputation back up to someone who can grab the kind of money he was looking for. That's a big if. But worth noting, the reason I feel sorry for him is not that he's making almost $6 million a year. It's because of how try hard his post was about the Celtics. Mm. It sounded like
the exclamation points.
It was, this is a great franchise and I'm going to give my all. Like, it sounded like you posted, hey, everybody, this is my new boyfriend. He is very good looking and also quite successful. Like, y'all don't need to do that if you go somewhere and you're really happy about it and everyone should be happy for you. Most players are just like, hey, Dallas, happy to be here. He was doing way too much.
Hey, I do have to say this, though. Katie says the Celtics are back. I feel like the Celtics are in a place that they had never been before. They've got this long track record issue of, like, getting black people to voluntarily go sign up to be there. If they have an option to go anywhere else, it's been a really difficult thing for them over the years. And I understand the Schroeder's from a different country, but they got a black dude to show up on a bargain and sound happy about it. That wasn't always the case for Boston. Hey, man. Your rep getting better.
Take what you can get.
Bus is back, baby.
Are you willing to read too much into Jalen Green outplaying Cade Cunningham last night?
Oh, yeah, baby. It's one of those days where we're really about to get deep into summer league basketball. Now, number one and number two picks in the draft played against each other with the Pistons playing the Rockets. And Jalen Green, who, if you had not seen him play before, he's an Instagram sensation because he does things that just look excellent on Instagram. He can fill it up, and he put up 25 and 30 minutes last night. Cade Cunningham looked better in his second game than he looked in the first game where he's played this year, but nah, there's not too much to read into this. Jalen Green is going to be a dude that can get buckets probably for his entire life, and that's the thing that we knew when he played last year in the G League, so he is used to an elevated level of competition that just wasn't there in college basketball. So I'm not surprised that in a setting like this, he's ready to get it going. Whereas Cade Cunningham is a dude, once you get him on a team that's actually his team and you see that the biggest thing about him is that he wants it, man. All the talent and everything else on top of it, he can lead a team and it is clear that that's a dude that really wants to win. You're not really going to see the effects of that in summer league with a bunch of cats that just met each other. So no, we're not going to get too deep into this one right now. Although if we got another slow news day tomorrow, I like this the biggest thing in the world.
Yeah, it feels like we're going to do this on days where the rest of the sports world is not offering us up an opportunity to talk about real games. Because again, this is summer league. And absolutely, you could start to see signs of a guy that might perform at the NBA level. But this is also a place where some of the greatest performances we've ever seen have been by Vaughn Wafer and Anthony Morrow, and the kind of guys that you then don't see replicate that kind of action in actual NBA games. So there's not a lot to take out of this, except for there's now this very cool storyline we can all attach to these two young players after a year where the draft got kind of buried by weird scheduling, by there not being quite the same collegiate schedule that allowed us to see and get excited about some of the top names. Deep draft, lots of talent that might be able to actually help their teams pretty early on, but there wasn't a ton of excitement. So if you're going to sell me on a rivalry between the number one and number two pick that starts in summer league and only goes from there, I guess I'll buy into it. Why not?
Look, if I can just be completely honest for a second, there is no way that you need a third person's opinion on the summer league and how much it matters. And if you do, it's certainly not Katie Nolan's opinion. So allow me to be the voice for any sports fan out there who's watching this and going, really? It's still basketball? Because it does feel like this year, like you said, Sarah, basketball has been the thing we've been, men's basketball specifically, has been happening between free agency, the Olympics, the finals. It's been nonstop. And now we're going to talk about summer league. I hear you, that person. And I would also encourage other sports fans. It's important to add variety to your diet. You can't just always eat men's basketball. Let the summer league be the place where a guy like Trae Young looks unplayable. And then let the regular season be when we realize that who's the actually going to. It's the summer league. Watch the WNBA if you need basketball.
No, and Katie, you're right. We need some variety. And I say, where have you gone? Adam Schefter, a lonely network, turns his eyes to you. There's got to be something about Aaron Rodgers that you ain't tell us before that you can break out right now. We had a couple good days in the summer where Adam Schefter was like, I got y'all. Watch this, right? Was the details that important? Did they change anything? Not really, but they fed us all day long. And here we are right now, struggling, dying for content. Adam Schefter, nowhere
to feed us.
Up next on HQ.
Let's go out. This is Texas West.
Okay.
First pitch catches what? The corner. What?
Strike one. That's action for sure.
You are absolutely right, Landry Pate.
Special talent, ping pong.
I don't understand.
Enjoying it.
That's a culture I can't respect. Like, there seems to be no empathy for your fellow man under those circumstances. I just can't see how all of y'all can be adults. Like, I can see why y'all would laugh. Y'all don't get it. That's fine. It's what happens. You know what I'm saying? But I'm looking at them people that's out there, and I feel like this should have been a prayer circle.
Did he get hit between the wickets? Is that what they – can we hear the beginning again? Because I swear to God, the woman called it the Ghoulie Ooly Woolies.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Bear Ultra Scuff Defense, the paint that's too tough to scuff.
Time to play the game that thinks the Bulls are going to be better than the Celtics this season. Do you question?
They'll probably both be better than the Bears. You give us topics and events.
You know what? How do you even compare?
Do you question if this batter reacted appropriately to this call?
We were going out to the Little League World Series.
Oh, boy.
I just want to let Sarah and Katie know. I don't know. You guys don't go farthest back, but I don't know what I just said this far as well. Anyway, we used to get time off for the Little League World Series. Now we got to be on here on television talking about it. Let's go out. This is Texas West.
Okay.
First pitch catches what? The corner. What?
Strike one. That's action for sure.
You are absolutely right, Landry Pate.
Special talent, ping pong.
Yo, I feel like you guys are saying what to the wrong thing. Like, this dude is still so stunned by the pitch while I'm over here trying to make sense of the pitcher. Can you run that again and explain to me how it is that the kid on the mound plays against the kid at the plate?
He's very
tall. Number 27. Or is the answer 27? Yeah, Landry, I want to see his birth certificate too.
That's the best. This kid rules. Oh my God, he rules. He's like, all right, I guess I'll take the next pitch. But that was wild. Just want to make sure y'all saw that.
Do you question whether it's okay to laugh at this?
We're going out to England for some cricket. You think they call it cricky over there? Like they call it footy? No?
No.
Sorry. I tried. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So far, not funny.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. They just called it the Gooly Ooly Woolies.
The Woolies. Oh,
God. All right, we got another one.
Oh, replay? Absolute
nightmare. No, that's a different one.
Absolute nightmare.
Yo, why is the pitcher laughing? Is that what they call him? Is the pitcher, the bowler, the hurler, the chucker, the thrower?
Being around this game.
Why is everybody, I don't understand.
Enjoying it.
That's a culture I can't respect. Like, there seems to be no empathy for your fellow man under those circumstances. I just can't see how all of y'all can be adults. Like, I can see why y'all would laugh. Y'all don't get it. That's fine. It's what happens. You know what I'm saying? But I'm looking at them people that's out there, and I feel like this should have been a prayer circle.
Did he get hit between the wickets? Is that what they... Can we hear the beginning again? Because I swear to God, the woman called it the Gooly Ooly Woolies.
Oh, I didn't know we were just going to go back to this.
Gooly Ooly Woolies, that is a painful.
What is that?
Oh, my goodness.
That's definitely... She made that up. That's definitely not like 100%. Realism.
I'm just going to say that her flipping attitude about this is diversity gone bad, man. I just don't feel like a man in that situation would treat this with the callous disregard that this woman did.
That made a loud enough noise for me to think he's got protection in there. Maybe that's why they're all laughing.
Yeah. There's protection, kind of like the padding on the outfield wall will stop you from dying and not from being concussed.
Yeah, she also victim blamed. You hear her say, he did it to himself, which, yes, is objectively true. But man, kicking him while he's down and then kicked again.
Yeah,
you know what's about to happen, right? I know what's about to happen, right?
A montage?
So go ahead and play.
A montage?
Go ahead and play. It all is going to be okay.
Boom.
Oh.
Don't we have fun music
like
for it?
The immature children that used to think this was so funny don't even work here anymore.
Yeah. I just feel like
those immature children was like 75 years old, by the way.
This is the perfect opportunity to use Yakety Sax, one might say. And I can't believe.
This is the only one that's a little funny, and not because of what happened to the man.
What
you gotta break out the stretcher, man. That's next level.
That is so sad. It's so embarrassing.
Because I was so furious, and then the stretcher came, and then I just, what could I do?
So embarrassing.
What could I do?
Up next on HQ.
Look, Sarah, before you go off, let me just say, there's got to be a time in your life that you were here, that you were somewhere after somebody didn't want you, and you were, let's say that somewhere was comparable in some way to Buffalo, and you were not even the main guy, and you knew that it wasn't good, but you still wanted to take a shot at where you were before. Just let him pretend he's super happy and that they love him. Time to play the game that still can't believe it's only Wednesday. See? Oh, no, we did it.
Wow, that was an impressive synchronicity there. You tell us what's on TV tonight. We tell you if we're intrigued.
In Buffalo, Bills training camp.
We're going to Bills training camp to talk about their quarterback, but we're not talking about Josh Allen. That's not who we're going to see. We are going to see the other quarterback that they have that Sarah is quite familiar with. Mm-hmm. He was the great Bears hope before Justin Fields, and his name is Mitchell Trubisky.
Being with the caliber, the type of players that we got here, the people, and using all the resources. And it's just really nice to be a part of a great team and be somewhere where people want you here and they care about how you're progressing as a person, as a player. So it's an interesting process, but I feel like I'm right where I'm supposed to be right now, and I'm enjoying being here.
I got to say, I'm surprised they even let him do interviews from the table. Why is anybody even asking him any questions? Which one of y'all want to go first? Katie, you go first. We'll let Sarah think about this.
Okay, sure. I'm intrigued. Look, Sarah, before you go off, let me just say, there's got to be a time in your life that you were here, that you were somewhere after somebody didn't want you, and you were, let's say that somewhere was comparable in some way to Buffalo, and you were not even the main guy, and you knew that it wasn't good, but you still wanted to take a shot at where you were before. Just let him pretend he's super happy and that they love him, and that you don't have to go too hard right now. That's just you do what you want. You make your own decisions. Just feel like he's lifting himself up here. Nobody cares about development as a person.
I was
Buffalo's not caring.
I was going to agree with him. that I too think he's in the right place. Also, it's given me a lot of Dennis Schroeder vibes of how happy I am in Buffalo is excellent. And everybody comes see my good looking and successful new boyfriend, because you got to tell yourself that when you're no longer an option for number one and you are very clearly a backup. Whereas before, people did want you to be there and did care about how you turned out as a person and a player until they saw how you turned out. And then they were like, we're good. And Mitch seems like a very nice guy. And I hope he enjoys his time in Buffalo and his quarterback room. I personally am glad to have a different guy in my quarterback room. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited to see what happens with Justin Fields. And I personally, and think the entire city of Chicago, will be very invested and care a lot about his development as a player and a person.
That's so a no from
everybody
Sarah.
Everybody wins.
It's a no from Sarah.
I do have to say this, though. No matter how hard you lying or how strong you want to make a point to leave Chicago and go to Buffalo and say that you're happier, I'd be offended if I was Chicago. They ain't even on the Good Lake. You know what I'm saying? All right, that is our show. Check out Katie Nolan's podcast, Sports. It has a question mark. Also, Sarah Spain, she has a podcast called That's What She Said. And a radio show, Spain and Fitz, 7 to 9 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
And Bomani Jones has the right time of Bomani Jones. I got it before you could. I got it. I win.
There we go. I love that contest to see who tolerates me the most.